This meeting of the House Military and Veterans Affairs Committee to order. It's presently 1:12 p.m. on Tuesday, May 7th, 2019. And present are Representative Thompson, Representative Kopp, Representative Rauscher, and myself, Representative Shaw. We have an excused absence for Vice Chair Tuck. Let the record reflect we have a quorum to conduct business. If you would please silence your electronic devices. Before we begin, I would like to introduce our committee aide, Deneen Tuck, and thank Sophia Tenney with House Records and Madison Truitt, who is moderating the meeting. I would also like to thank Representative Ledoux for the transition assistance that she's given me. We have one item on today's agenda. We have a presentation by Tim Ford, who is the CEO of the Association of Defense Communities, and present to assist Mr. Ford in the slide presentation is Jeff Stepp. Mr. Ford is online, and he will be available to answer any questions the committee may have. Mr. Ford, can you hear us?
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the invitation to join you today virtually. Sorry I was not able to be there in person, but hopefully this is a good opportunity for us to engage and share a little more information about the organization and the work we're doing in Alaska. Hopefully the PowerPoint made it your way and you have that. I'll walk through some of these slides and then we can take any questions that you may have.
We do have it up on the screen, and please go ahead and initiate your presentation, please.
Thank you.
I'd like to make note that Representative Sponholz has joined us.
Let me introduce the association first. The Association of Defense Communities began 45 years ago, and we have our roots actually in the Department of Defense. We were formed by an agency called the Office of Economic Adjustment, which is the defense agency tasked with really engaging communities. They formed us to be the non-governmental partner in working with communities and states to support the military. Our goal is really to be that connection point between defense communities, defense states, the military and industry to ensure that all these partners are working together to support our national security. We are a 501c3 organization. Our goal is to enhance knowledge, and our goal is to educate, and that's really the focus of what we do. As part of that, we also educate lawmakers at the federal level and at the state level about the issues confronting defense communities and states, and really help them understand what other places are doing, sharing information across the country so that every state and community can be prepared and is able to support the military in the way we need to be supporting them. We have a great membership. We're a membership organization. We have members across Alaska. Most of the large communities, Fairbanks and Anchorage, have members who are part of the organization. We've also had great engagement from the Alaska Department of Military and Veterans Affairs over the years. And the Deputy Commissioner has been part of our state advisors group. This is a subset of our membership that brings together the leads from each of the states. most of these people often work for governors, and this group gets together to really share information about how states are supporting the military. We've also had great involvement from the military across Alaska. In recent events, we've had installation leaders from J-Bear, Fort Wainwright, Eielson, and many others participate in our conferences. I had the opportunity also to be in Alaska myself last year, and we were up in Fairbanks and in North Star Borough and had an opportunity to visit both the installations in those communities and really see firsthand the great work that's going on in Alaska. If you want to go to the next slide that talks about our programs, I won't spend a lot of time on this, but just to give you a sense of what we do, We host some very significant events in D.C. and around the country. One of them is coming up in June, our Defense Communities National Summit. We also host an event each winter that brings together military leaders from 100-plus installations and communities for what we call installation innovation. And it's really about talking about the future of our bases and how we can innovate them. We also, as I mentioned, do a fair amount of legislative education. We support something called the Defense Communities Caucus in D.C. as a way to engage lawmakers at the federal level to support key issues that help our military and help our communities. And we also do a lot of information sharing. We have a very widely read newsletter called On Base that goes out to a very large list of people inside DOD and around the country, sharing what happens, what's going on with installations and all the things on Capitol Hill. That's available for anyone. So if you're ever interested in receiving that, Jeff could easily get some email addresses and we can make sure you're on that mailing list. If you go to the slide that has the America's Defense Communities information on it, one of our signature programs is something I'll talk a little about today in terms of what it's focused on, is America's Great Defense Communities. And this is a program we do with USAA, but it's meant to highlight what communities are doing to promote quality of life in their communities and their states. We've recognized 18 communities in the last 3 years for being Great American Defense Communities. We have yet to have one from Alaska, but we're hoping that changes in the future. But this is a great program to really tell the story of what our communities are doing.
Excuse me, Mr. Ford, we have a representative who'd like to ask a question, please.
Sure.
Mr. Ford, this is Representative Sponholz. What are the characteristics that make a community a great defense community in your mind?
I think it's at first it starts with an awareness that the role of a defense community is one that has to be supported every day, and supported not just at the state level or local government level, but at the community organization level. So it's first this broad awareness that a great community takes active participants and active advocates. But then you really start to get into what we've learned is there's a lot of different categories. There's education, there's housing, there is, child care, and we're building kind of this community of practice now around this to say, hey, what do great communities do? And the program that we put together has started to build this very large kind of library of ideas. So I don't think we're ever going to have necessarily saying every community has to do X, Y, and Z, because we recognize every community, every state is slightly different. But I think we're starting to get a better picture of what great communities do to support their base. And we can share some of the resources we have, but I say the things today that are, and I'll talk about it more shortly, is education. It is the number one focus in the department in terms of community engagement and making sure that we have great schools to support our military families. And I would say the other big one right now is housing. There's a lot of discussion about it, but making sure that quality housing is available for our service members inside and outside the gate. So hopefully and we could talk a lot about, we spend entire conferences talking about what makes communities great, but hopefully that at least gives you some flavor of how we look at it.
Mr. Ford, we have a follow-up, please.
Yeah, this is Representative Sponholz. I'd be interested if you could share some resources with us. I mean, I know that Alaska has, I think, maybe the highest per capita rate of current and retired military and professionals in the state of Alaska. And I know in Anchorage, we've worked really hard to be a military-friendly community. I'm looking across at Representative Thompson. He's nodding. I know that he's worked personally to help make sure that Fairbanks and other communities in Alaska are military-friendly. The University of Alaska has worked really hard to become a military-friendly university system by making it easier for students to become matriculated and to transfer their credits and things like that. But if there are practical recommendations that you have that you think, a really great military defense community has these five elements, those are kinds of things I think we'd be interested in learning more about.
No, and absolutely. And I think there's a quote at the end of this presentation that I'll mention. And I think what we've learned is that the definition of what our service members need constantly evolves. So what is great today may be only good by tomorrow. So it's one of the, I think, so when we really think about what makes communities great, it's that ongoing engagement that you're listening to what the military is doing, you're listening to what service members needs, and you're making sure your community is adjusting to those dynamics. So it's a tough thing to pin down because it's always changing in terms of what we need and what our service members have done. So all the things you mentioned are great examples, but it's what we urge and what we talk about a lot of our conferences is what's that next thing you need to be doing and how do you get prepared for that? And I think that's kind of what our focus is to help communities understand those issues.
Mr. Ford, this is Representative Shaw. Do you work directly with the service organizations?
The
DAV, American Legion, Veterans Foreign Wars?
Not as much with those. We work with groups like the Association of the U.S. Army, the Air Force Association. We work with a lot of the local government, from the National Governors Association to the National Association of Counties. So we as an organization, we have our own connections into DOD, high-level connections into each of the services, so we work with them. But we definitely partner with other military groups, but we kind of are a hybrid because we kind of stand between the local and state government and the military. So we're often called in to be that connection point between those groups.
Thank you.
Let me walk through just a couple of the informational slides we put together, and then I can get into a little more of the ideas to share. We put in here key issues for defense communities and states. I think the one thing when I talk about awareness, probably the number one issue for everyone to be aware about is budget issues, because budget drives everything else. In terms of how our installations grow, how they're being supported. We've come out of a very chaotic period, in the last 5 to 7 years. The last year or two has been much more stable, meaning funding has been going up, and that's been a good thing. And we've seen some increases in active duty strength, and you guys experienced this in Alaska in many different ways. All the different worries that we had, previous to that have diminished some. But I put a big but there because I think we have a lot of concerns of what this year is going to look like. And one of the biggest things our communities tell us, and you guys experienced this, is the unpredictability of the defense budget causes a lot of harm to our installations. So we're, I think, being aware right now that we're going to see the military construction bill this year is probably going to be one that isn't resolved quickly because of debates on the border wall. And even figuring out what level that we're going to fund the military this year is going to be a debate. I think the good thing is, I think there's a consensus that we don't want to see a decline in the defense budget. But I'm not confident that there is the clear pathway of getting to an agreement. So I think that is going to become a big issue for the rest of the year, and that unpredictability is going to cause harm. And our communities play an important voice in telling their legislators, their congressional delegations, how important it is that we get budgets passed. As you guys know, as a state legislature, this is the job of Congress, and we trust they're going to do it. But the voices from the local level is very important in sharing that. The other sort of big driving issue, I think, is our strategy. It's evolved a lot in the last couple of years with the new National Defense Strategy. This slide has some information about, I won't go into the details, this, and if you talk to anyone in DOD, they have been taught now to align everything they say in terms of the defense strategy. But I think there's a lot of question marks in the post Mattis era and in the Department of Defense where this strategy goes moving forward. But it has been very critical to how DOD is making decisions, and we have told our communities over and over again is read it, digest it, understand its implications. But I think we're all trying to figure out what does this mean, and how will things evolve with a new Secretary of Defense. The third thing I want to bring up, and I mentioned it, is quality of life. I mean, it used to be viewed as sort of a nice thing to talk about. You know, let's talk about our quality of life for our service members. But a few years ago, the departmental leadership made it a real factor in how they make decisions about basing. And for all of us who work in defense communities and states, basing decisions are really important to growing our defense economy. As you know, with what they're doing at Eielson and the F-35, that investment DOD makes is important in the long term. DOD and the Secretary Wilson, she's departing soon here, but has led this charge of that education is important and the quality of our schools near bases is going to be part of future basing decisions. We've worked with the Secretary in a very close way to help think about how they measure quality of schools, and it is something that's going to move forward. So I think that's something every state, every community has to think about, because school quality will be part of that matrix that they think about. And there's some examples here. I mean, I'm amazed every day we see examples popping up around the country, from schools that are developing STEM programs to efforts around military spouse employment. There's a lot of creative work being done at the state level and the local level to promote quality of life and education and broad quality of life for our military spouses. The final area, and it's not in the slide, but one that is really prevalent right now, is the discussion about housing. There's been a lot of issues and concerns about on-base housing. That's really an internal DOD issue with the folks who run those programs, but we see the conversation really blending out of that and focusing on housing in our communities. 70% of our service members live in the communities surrounding our bases, and the quality, affordability, and the reliable, the availability of housing in those local communities is critical. And we're starting some conversations with all of our communities to think about how they can improve that. The other big factor kind of playing in, and I think this is interesting for all of you at the state level to see and kind of understand, is our states are playing a big role in investing in defense infrastructure. States have realized that, just like with other economic development projects, that there is investments that need to be made to ensure that DOD is able to do what it needs to do and that they're able to retain those bases. So this is a short list. I could give you a much longer one of some of the investments being made at the state level to ensure that bases are able to meet their mission. We've these are probably in the mid-range. We have some states, like, for example, Massachusetts. This lists $23 million, but they actually did a $150 million bond fund to fund a whole series of projects around their military installations. So states, I would say, in the last decade have become very active players in directly investing in the mission success of their installations. The other area that we're seeing a lot of investment in is in the resiliency and efficiency of bases. These are other examples I put here, a partnership in New Jersey to improve water supply. There is something called the Intergovernmental Support Agreement, which allows for communities to share services with the base and hopefully reduce the cost of services with the base. And those projects are popping up all over the country. Virginia is, encroachment. All of you have probably heard that word. It's probably not as big of an issue in Alaska because land is something you have more of than some of these states, but a lot of states are having to invest directly in purchasing land to ensure that development does not, overtake a base. So again, there's at the local level and state level, there's a lot of direct investments that are going on. And finally, there's sort of this broader effort about defense economy. So we can think about installations as one piece of a defense economy in a state, but we have manufacturing facilities that support defense. We have other kind of components that are plugged into our defense economy, and there's a lot of efforts at the state level to promote those and to understand first how they operate in the, at that state level. And these are some examples of efforts around the country from Illinois to New England of states that are working to strengthen their supply chain and understand how defense economies are working. The slide, it says a new way to support defense infrastructure. This is a good opportunity that just happened in the last 2 years, is the Congress passed an authority called the Defense Community Infrastructure Program, which is the first time that the federal government will create a funding stream that can be used at the state and local level to support infrastructure projects and enhance military value. We have a 10-year, it's a 10-year pilot program. And up to 30%, there's a 30% cost share. So, and that 30% can come from other federal dollars, could come from state dollars, could come from even a public-private partnership. But DOD would fund up to 70% of a project. We are working at the moment to secure funding. This was authorized at $100 million a year. And we're hoping this year we'll get the first dollars coming through this. But this will create a great opportunity for some additional funding that can really be that last dollar in an infrastructure project at the state or local level that is needed to support the military installation. So stay tuned on that, but I think all of our states are really gearing up right now for the opportunities that may create. So finally, We kind of keep this updated, but we've created a to-do list. Actually, the last time I used this was when I spoke at the National Conference of State Legislatures. And these are five things I think if you as state leaders can focus on, and you're doing many of these things, but I think it's always good to kind of check what you're doing, see how you can evolve this. But first, understanding the current and future mission capabilities. So this means talking to your base commanders on a regular basis. I know Alaska doesn't have this formally, but looking into creating a state commanders council that you will meet on a regular basis with state leaders. A state commanders council brings your commanders together so that they're meeting with all of you on a regular basis to talk about the needs of the missions. Protecting the availability and condition of land facilities and airspace. You guys have, as I learned, you have one of the greatest assets in our country in terms of training facilities and airspace. But as you know, simple things can take away the value of that airspace, whether it be, we have this problem in a lot of states, windmills or things like that start to have issues. So really focused on how do we protect that space. Improving investing in the ability to accommodate and support the future force. And this means really thinking about how are we going to be ready for that next mission? How are we going to make sure DOD understands we're ready for that next mission? Number four is managing the cost of operations. DOD is, even if their numbers are going up in the budget, they are always looking for ways to create efficiencies. As you all know, running a state that has to be part of every conversation. Communities and states can be active partners with the military when it comes to creating efficiencies. And this goes back to what I mentioned with the sharing of services and figuring out if there's ways that the basic community can work together. And then finally, support your state's effort on military retention. A simple investment at the state level of making sure people are dedicated to this issue has been the best practice we've seen across the country. And that that investment at the state level to make sure everyone is working together and is strategic about what you're focused on is very important. And then finally, making sure you celebrate all the things you do. And this is really about reaching out to your constituents and then the residents of Alaska and making sure that everyone understands the importance and value of the military in the state's economy and making sure that everyone thinks about what they can be doing to support the military effort in Alaska. As I mentioned, I previewed this quote, but I think it's a great example that, you know, America's defense communities, we always have to be thinking about what we're going to be doing next. And I think if that's the one message I can leave you with, I think that's the most important. It's, you can never sit still, just like our military never sits still. We're always thinking of what the next threat is. We're always thinking about where we're going next, and communities and states have to be thinking the same. We are really happy that we're going to have the opportunity to engage in Alaska in a deeper way, and that's through the Alaska Defense Forum that ADC is hosting in Fairbanks in October. This has been an event a couple years in the making. We host these forums in states across the country, including California, Washington. This year we're doing one, I think, in Tennessee. We've been all over the country, but we're really excited to be coming to Alaska, and we think this is a great opportunity to bring your communities and state leaders together and really talk about the future of defense in the state. And we look forward to having many of you participate in that event. So mark your calendars. Jeff has some postcards and information that he'll have ready later this week that he can hand out. But take a look at the website and learn more about the event. So I'll stop there, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Yes, Mr. Ford, Representative Thompson.
Yes, thank you very much for the presentation, Mr. Ford. I was very interested and pleased to see that the one of the slides here towards the end, that the federal government is going to provide federal money to support state and local infrastructure projects that enhance military value. Several years ago, we passed a bill here in the state that is a military facility zone bill that where a community or an area can apply to be named a military facility zone, and they can do things that will enhance the military mission or help save the military money on different bases, and this fits right in with it, and I'm very pleased to see that. I'm looking forward to seeing you people up here in October. Thank you very much. I'm from Fairbanks, by the way.
Great. I would urge you is communicating with your federal delegation. This money is not appropriated yet, and those conversations are occurring right now. Your delegation's always been very supportive of this, but making sure that they understand how important this investment could be for our local communities and states.
Have any other questions for the committee? Mr. Stepp?
For the record, my name is Jeff Stepp, staff to Vice Chair Tuck. And my primary job here is to advance slides. But I would like to ask Mr. Ford to elaborate a little bit on the defense forums and what those have looked like around the country, and particularly for this audience, Mr. Ford, if you could share how state legislatures have participated.
Sure. You know, our whole goal behind these was to really help our members organize at the state and local level. So these conferences have been a way to support states and bringing together their communities. In some states, it's actually created an ongoing effort. Like in Ohio, we hosted the first forum there. They now are hosting a yearly forum on their own, and they just formed a statewide organization to bring together all their communities and state players on a regular basis. So one of the goals is organizing. The second is to really bring information that we have and sort of these bigger picture, you know, ideas and that we're talking about the national level, bring it down to a local level so that we can engage the business leaders we can engage the local leaders so they understand what's happening. Because part of what we do with defense communities, what our members do, is to keep the public and the local leadership engaged on these issues. Because if they're engaged, they're willing to support it, and they're willing to, you know, put the time and effort into advancing this. In terms of state participation, it really depends on where we are. In California, it's actually hosted by a committee of the state legislature. So they're very involved. And one of the best ways, as I mentioned before, is having a meeting where your state legislative leadership is sitting down with your base commanders. And we hope that this forum could be a good opportunity to do that. That's what California does every year. So when we're there, you can imagine they have, I think it's, you know, 40 different commanders when you put together all the different pieces in California are in a room with the top legislators and folks from the governor's office. And they spend a couple hours doing mission sort of briefs on what's happening. And everyone's able to hear the same sort of needs of what's happening at that base and how they can support it. So I think that's an opportunity we really want to explore in Alaska. And then after the forum, there's some opportunities for us to, for you guys and at the local level and the state level, think about how to continue sort of the statewide engagement.
Thank you, Mr. Ford. Any other questions from the committee? Seeing none, Mr. Stepp, do you have any additional comments?
No, sir. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Well, good presentation. Thank you for the opportunity allowing me to sit in this position. This is our last committee meeting for this legislative session. It is now 1:45 p.m., and this concludes our Military and Veterans Affairs Committee for the day. We are now adjourned.